What a week. Papers full of stories, particularly about young people. And across the world on Friday particularly. The picture that remains in my heart is the picture of Greta Thunberg a year ago sitting alone on the pavement in Sweden with a small sign about climate change. Sitting alone. Next to her was the picture of a million youngsters in Sydney, Australia. And all across the world, young people rising up to awaken us to the needs of our planet. I'm reading a book at the moment. It's called No Planet B. And it's something, and I think particularly, and I shall be addressing it in a few weeks on harvest themes. This surely is a tremendous challenge brought to us by today's young people. What would Jesus say? Well, today's parable is one of the most difficult in the book, as they say. So let's pray. Lord, we ask that you'll open our minds and our hearts to what you're saying to us through your gospel. Convict us in particulars of our lives and our churches, that we may honor your kingdom and give you glory. Amen. The unjust steward, it's sometimes called, and many interpretations have been made of it. And one leading scholar says, and most of these are dead ends. It's a very difficult passage. It seems to say that a man who cheated is to be commended, and you Christians have got to do better. Well, I don't think it's quite that, though it is very challenging. Luke takes many of Jesus' use of money, which he does use many times, and this is one of his most important parables, to say, as you heard in the very last words, you cannot serve God and money. Remember, the storyteller is Jesus. Remember the young people in our world. I have a story to tell you just from last weekend. Last weekend, Judy and I visited friends to celebrate their Ruby wedding. We first met young Catherine in our church youth club 40 or 50 years ago. She came from a family that came nowhere near the church. I think she came with a friend, and she was bright, very bright. She went on to study her doctorate in biochemistry. And whilst doing cancer research, she fell in love with a fellow researcher. Catherine phoned us. She said, I'm in trouble. I've fallen in love. He's not a Christian. What do I do? So I said, you tell him, we'll pray. That's harder than it sounds, particularly when you're a young person. So Catherine told Martin that if they were to be serious, he must realize God was first in her life, but that she loved him very much. They tell us there were lots of tears. But he said, how do I find God and Jesus in the same way as you? So she tried to explain, and God worked his miracle. I married them 40 years ago. She says he's a better Christian than I am. They have two sons. They were there, David and Andrew. Both follow their parents' faith. Andrew had come over from Chicago. Some of you may remember we went to his wedding a couple of years ago, brought their new young son, Matthew, and his wife, Meredith. They worship in the huge Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, and musicians Andrew plays the drums in the music group. Lovely young Christian family has grown. Oh, I should mention, Catherine had no Christian parents to encourage her. They never came to church, But her mother in her last days lived in a nursing home close by to them. And she asked the nurse called Margaret, "Margaret, I've got a worry. How can I be sure I get to heaven?" Margaret was at this celebration last week because Margaret was a Christian, and she very stumblingly told Catherine's mother how to find a faith. Catherine's prayers of a lifetime were answered. These are just three examples from the life of a Christian youngster who was in our church youth club. Praise the Lord for that. One girl from the youth group and her family. Now, what's this to do with our parable about money and priorities, you may ask? Well, here goes. In my personal Bible, I have some notes from our Rector Rana's vision for this church, made 2 years ago on the 28th of October 2017. I keep them in my personal Bible, and quite often I use them in my prayers, where Rana, after his first short time here, began to spell out some of the things God was saying to him. I select a few things. He used gathering, growing, and going, our diocesan priorities. And he selected that we should work for a church for tomorrow, a church for everyone, and a church for everywhere. And he elaborated that first point in particular. A priority for young people and young families, for young people in worship, and the possibility of a youth pastor to help our youth leaders do this. And he encouraged us to dream dreams and to deepen our faith in what might seem the God of the impossible. Well, we have opened the book in our primary schools. We have prayer spaces in our high school for young people. And if you haven't heard, this week the news that a new Christian union is going to begin in our high school over the road. Pray for that and thank God for it. On Thursday, I came to take Mother's Union communion service, and I had to push my way through 15 or 20 teenagers gathering in our church room with Kerry and her staff there. Help in leadership is urgently needed, even legally required for that number of youngsters. On Wednesday evening, Suzanne and husband Ed have another group who meet. They've been going through Christian basics and are now taking them deeper in exploring a Christian faith. There are a number of true Christians growing amongst this growing number of teenagers that God has given us. We don't see them in church, say some. Well, they are church. They are church. What would Jesus say? What would he do? What exactly are we doing with our resources, and to come back to our parable, our money? If you want to know what a business is doing and what its priorities are, in any great organization, there's a phrase, follow the money. Then you'll know what's going on. Now, this is going to hurt a bit. This was a crisis parable preached by Jesus with real urgency. He uses two of the same words used for the prodigal son, squandering money, as that young man did, and then doing something about it, making things with the resources that you've got. What are we making of our resources and our money in relation to the young people God has sent us? What are God's priorities? Where is God sending us spiritual growth? Now, we've spent in my time here, £400,000 on this beautiful building. Many doubted we could find it. I was one of those who met to say, yes, we could. And it began to be raised in a matter of weeks. And we thank God for all those of you who worked so hard to make this beautiful building what it is. Archbishop John, in our church gathering this week, has said, church has got to change. Simply maintaining tried and tested methods will not serve the purposes of the kingdom of God. We have to newly recognize our challenges and our particular opportunities to affirm those individuals and groups who, through asking uncomfortable questions and making uncomfortable observations, demand this of us. We dare not risk being either blind or deaf to the realities we face, to the gifts and opportunities we must address. Archbishop John Davis, just a few days ago. I ask you, might there be one like our friend Catherine amongst these young people? Might there be one like Greta Thunberg? Who knows what God can do in these young lives? This is our challenge. Use your money for spiritual purposes as the children of the world do for their material causes. That's what Jesus says. Will our church demonstrate by its use of money the reality of the gospel as it faces us? What are our priorities? We need urgent help with our teenagers. Can we afford a youth pastor? What are we going to do about it? This is a story about things being done. It's a story about action. So what does St. James say? I paraphrase it. The idea of faith without obedience is simply nonsense. Can we negotiate over this? Jesus says no. This is a choice. You cannot serve God and money. This is kingdom economics. This is, as our Archbishop calls us, to make a church made otherwise. Think about it. I believe this is a real challenge to us. I make no bones of if some are embarrassed, and I think of our youth leaders sitting here. We need to pray and we need to act that those whom God has sent us may be brought up in the vision and faith for his world. Let's pray. Lord, we just put ourselves in our heart, in your hands, not knowing what particular actions you want us to do, but aware of the challenges you have made. Guide us by your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.